You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Man, we've talked
a lot. You had a good Christmas.
Yeah, I hope you had a good Christmas as well. I feel like we all know kind of the lore of the Jones cabin after Thanksgiving. Is there a big family post-Christmas tradition?
No, not really. There's more of a Christmas tradition, which is at my parents' house, and we do that, and do that usually a couple days beforehand and around ball games. But it's a great time, and between my brother, sister, and I and our children, we get to hang out with Gene and Jerry, and we have a really festive afternoon and evening.
You know, we talked to Jerry leading into that Christmas game, and I'm sure this is the hope for you, the hope for the league. Do you feel like Christmas football can become as entrenched in our society as Thanksgiving football is?
Absolutely. I think people are relaxed. I think they're looking for entertainment. I think they're looking, you know, to get the get a lot of things off their mind and just enjoy their families. And I think sport and football certainly has a way to do that, a way about it that people really embrace it. They certainly have shown they do it at Thanksgiving, and I think we can grow this into something very special.
You know, Dak has talked a whole lot about closing the season with pride and reaching 500 for the season. What would getting that final win and finishing at 500 mean to you and to the organization?
Yeah, I think it's obviously something we've got our eye on the ball on. I mean, we're disappointed we're in this position. We really, felt like after that three-game run during Thanksgiving that we were getting back in it and had a shot, but we didn't play our best ball there for, starting with Detroit. But, feel like we're getting our hands around it again, and certainly, it would be something we could build off of in the offseason is finish strong. And, we just feel like we got a lot of pieces in place between obviously the offense had a great year, and we still got a lot of work to do on defense. It just never quite came around to the level that we need it to be to be competing for a championship. And that's where we have to be. But at the same time, we do think we put a lot of pieces, on that defensive side of the ball. Certainly we've fired up about, having two number one picks going into the off season, and, just feel like we're really heading into a good direction with Shoddy and his staff and this football team, and it'd be great to finish strong.
And Stephen, sticking with those picks that you mentioned, you and the front office members mentioned around the draft season that you usually finish with less than 20 or so first round grades, somewhere like 16 to 17 on a good year. And there's a chance you could be picking outside of that talent window. What would you say to people that are more concerned about picking within that talent window versus finishing the year strong?
Yeah, I just think finishing and winning is so important. And, I still think we're going to be right there where there's some, and, our 1-2-0 grades are really a lot of them are just right borderline first round grades. And there's been a lot of great players come out of those 1-2-0s. And we just feel like there's going to be similar type players once you get into where we're probably going to be picking, which is, probably somewhere between 11 and 21 if you count Green Bay's pick, and just think there's going to be some good football players there.
Fair to assume we all really want Green Bay to lose in the first round of the playoffs, though, right?
I hate to root against people, but yes, they would understand why we're rooting against them. And we want our picks, obviously their pick, to be as good as it can possibly be. So whoever they're up against, I'm sure we'll have we'll be rooting for them.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Javonte Williams. I wanted to shift gears and get your thoughts on the play of Jadeveon Clowney this season. And when he talks about he wants to be ready earlier next year and everything, do you think he is merited a spot on this team next year?
Absolutely. I mean, he's played a very high level. He's played, he's been one of our best pressure players, and obviously has a great pedigree being the first pick in the draft, albeit a few years ago. But no, we'd love to have Jadeveon back. We'll be talking with his guys right away, and would love to get him in the mix. And love, because he is a leader, we'd love to have him in the mix from the get-go, which would be outstanding. So hopefully we've got, with his willingness to want to be here and us wanting him to be here, hopefully we can figure something out.
You know, you've always, over the years, always given us really good insight on the salary cap. I'm curious, and maybe the process changes every single year, do you guys sit down and you go, well, we're going to, you know, flip the switch on Dak, Tyler, CD, whatever the case is, and this is the real amount of money that we're going to be working with going into the offseason?
Yeah, we've already, we have our different iterations of the cap, and certainly have iterations where we work the majority of, if not all of our high-priced guys, and seeing what we can really do here to keep, guys like George Pickens and Javonte Williams, and as you mentioned, Jadeveon Clowney, and, see if we can keep those guys around. And certainly that's what we've been working on. We've been our group that works in and around our cap have been hard at it, and we'll take a long, hard look at it and see what we have there. Obviously, we've added some players, and when you look at guys like Kenny Clark and Q and those guys, so obviously those guys are going to be a big part of it. We signed Osa last year, so we feel like we're in good shape, and that we can certainly make this team better, and we plan on doing that.
And Kenny Clark feels like a maybe kind of a unique situation in terms of he's still under contract, but there's no guaranteed money left on the contract. Does that give both sides some more flexibility to make sure something can be worked out?
Absolutely. And Kenny's just been more than advertised for us. He's a leader. He's a man's man. He's great on the field. He's great off the field in the room with the guys. He's a guy we want to have around here.
And Stephen, focusing on the defense, specifically on the linebacker position, I want to know your thoughts on Logan Wilson and his progression, as he did not play a single snap last week. And just overall, what you think needs to be done at that position group going into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that was unfortunate with Logan. We had just they didn't have many snaps throughout the game, much less obviously in the first half, very few snaps. And, we'll say it was I wouldn't call it a mistake, but some confusion in terms of how that rotation was supposed to go with Coach Braganzi and the rotation there. It was certainly wasn't the intent for him not to play a snap, but, sometimes the game with not many snaps on one particular side of the ball, things can not go according to plan. So I'm sure Shadi will address that as well, but certainly think a lot of Logan and what he brings to the table. But, we're going to roll up our sleeves and look at all the areas where we have to improve. And, K-9's had his moments this year where he's played well, and he's obviously very talented. And Logan's obviously a guy we think can help there. But we've got to, really roll up our sleeves and see how we can make this defense better in the offseason.
Confusion on the part of the player or the position coach?
The position coach and the staff, the defensive staff.
Well, we appreciate the time very much in the talk about momentum going into that final game. We're all looking forward to it on Sunday. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Look, man, that does not seem good for the potential stability of the defensive coaching staff.
Yeah.
Right there, it's confusion on the part of the position coach. And then the other thing, Clowney, Clark, and Jadeveon, you hear just really positive talk about them, but I get it. It's easier to say now positive things about the player as opposed to, hey, there's other offers out there in the world, and maybe you're like, hey, we want to keep him, but not for that money. In terms of Jadeveon and Javonte Williams, Kenny Clark is under contract, and that's one of the things I think people get it twisted when they look at the Cowboys salary cap. He hits at 21.5 next year, but there's no guaranteed money. So you can finesse that in a number of different ways if you want to keep Kenny Clark on the team.
Yeah, and Kenny Clark I do want to keep on the team because by all accounts, he's right about the impact he's had in the locker room. He seems like a guy that people can lean on, especially some of these younger guys and some of these guys that you don't really know what their future looks like.
Right.
Heck, Perrion Winfrey had to play.
You know,
so guys like him can go to Kenny Clark and ask for help and ask for advice. But on the other side, you mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. I want him back probably more than any player on this team because I think people don't really realize the impact he's had. You see it
run
on the field.
Too.
Run stopping, he's been phenomenal. His motor, even after how many years in the league, he has been fantastic. But I still go back to two things. His first week after he signed here, he was still ramping up, so they didn't have him work in that first day of practice, but he was in his jersey and everything. What was he doing? He was talking to all the edge guys and showing them techniques and working on stuff on the side. And then two, his quote last week about staying motivated in the last two games, going into last week's game and to this week's game, he said, look, they pay me to play a game.
Right.
You know, and why would I let anybody down? My teammates, ownership, my family that flies out to come watch and everything, there's people counting on me. So I love everything that he's about as a person, but on the field, he's playing way better than I expected, too.
Okay, let me throw this out there. This year, 1 year, $3.5 million with a possible $6 million. I tell you, he comes back to the table and says, I want 1 year, $6 million guaranteed with possible bonuses that get it up to $7.5 or $8
million. I'm doing it.
Yeah?
Easily.
Okay.
I think he's been that good for you.
Okay, good to know. Now, we asked for a lot of people, I'm assuming for most leagues, this is the preference. This is championship weekend for fantasy football, although I have no doubt some folks out there listening are like, yes, that is what it should have been, but it's not. So we asked, what do you need to happen on Monday Night Football to win your league championship from the 979? I need them Rams to rest Stafford up. I'm up 12 points right now. That's going to be the theme you're going to hear in some of these texts. It is possible. Do I think that's what's going to happen? Not necessarily, but I will be rooting for you. From the 817, I need 52 points from Puka, Pitts, and the Rams defense to win the championship. It's not impossible. And I'll tell you this, if you needed someone to just randomly pop a 40-point game for you, I feel like Puka Nacua is pretty high up on my list of possible candidates.
I'm actually not too worried for you in that situation. Usually whenever you're saying I need the combination of these three things, including a defense, to get me more than like 30 points, I'm like, yeah, keep dreaming. But heck, even Kyle Pitts has shown you this season that he might be
that's a good point.
He might be the only read on.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And some plays that are going towards the sideline, and it will probably work because he is bringing his career back to life. I'm rooting for you because I think it's possible. I really do.
It feels like Matthew Stafford is the pivot player for pretty much all of these.
Pivot!
Although, from the 817, I need a time machine to go back to the summer. From the 214, I need Puka for 30.
Ooh.
From the another 214, I need Stafford and Puka to crap the bed. And then, this one's tough. From the 903, hey, you made it to the championship at least. I'm losing 189-45. I need Stafford to throw for like 1,000 yards at least in this game. Man.
What happened?
Oh, that is tough.
Wrong?
for the 601, I need the other 13 teams to withdraw. And then from the 817, this person needs 70 points from Stafford. You know, I really might connect you with that 903 person, and you guys can just root. Like, the first pass is an 80-yard bomb, and you're like, we got this! And then from the 817, I wouldn't hesitate to sign Clowney to incentive deal that maxes out at $10 million. And so one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up again is Jadeveon Clowney talked about, hey, I want to be ready earlier.
Yeah.
And even insinuated, hey, maybe I'll go to training camp. But like that he wants to be ready earlier so he doesn't have to knock off the rust early in the season. And if that's the case, I think you've seen enough from him to make a moderate investment in that.
Yeah, and you saw his first couple games were a little bit rusty, and he was the first to say at postgame, like, yeah, haven't played football in a while. That kind of hurt, you know? But I think it was like a month in, he was like, I'm feeling great. I've got my timing back. Like, he was saying all the right things. Like, everything's kind of come back to me. And if he does want to commit, you know, to actually showing up, training camp, I know it's not what it used to be in terms of workload, but it's probably nice to just be in the system and in the mix and running and moving and lifting. And hey, you're probably going to have a new defensive play caller. You're going to have to pick up his scheme too.
I mean, look, one of those things that we just heard in that interview did not instill a lot of confidence. Okay, a couple more real quick. From the 940, I need 75 points from Stafford and Pitts. From the 469, I need Puka and Pitts to combine for a negative 15 and I'm golden. And then there's this. From the 214, I need Bijan to not score 72 points and I win. And again, I would be uber ridiculously confident. But then if Bijan on the first play from scrimmage broke off like an 80-yard touchdown, even though you're like, well, that could never happen for the whole game, isn't there like a tiny part of you that's like, oh no, am I about to get careered? Am I about to get like all-time fantasy gamed and lose this championship? You'd probably be fine. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now we're going to move AM on the FM to 1 o'clock today because coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And it's back to the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. This upcoming segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Going to throw it over to Mickey Spagnuolo in just one second. But first, we go to the Alec News Desk for news.
We do have news in the college football space. Marcus Freeman announced himself on his own Twitter account that he will be returning to Notre Dame.
Smart. Or else he's going to have to keep listening to all these questions about, what about this team? What about this team? Do you want to coach the Dolphins? And he's like, isn't their coach still employed? Like, see, he wants to avoid that.
And then the best name in college football reporting, Hayes Fawcett of On3 Sports, is reporting that Auburn star wide receiver Cam Coleman is entering the transfer portal. He's instantly the top wide receiver available through two seasons, 1,306 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Man.
As Jacob pointed out, with not great quarterback play.
That is a very good point. Now, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going well. Do you ever get nervous when you hear like a player's transferring out of Missouri and then they're like, yeah, he was in two games and had one catch for 7 yards. And you're like, all right, that's fine. I didn't need to know
that. No, I get
that.
Nervous when the starting quarterback decides to go in the portal a week before the bowl game, right?
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy. Yeah, I get it. Well, I've suffered plenty of college football sadness, but we don't need to talk about that Miami game. Yeah, that's not the reason I was out last week, but it certainly helped. Now, somebody just asked me, and I immediately responded. They said, why didn't you ask Stephen Jones who's going to start at quarterback against the Giants? And I said, it's because it's Dak. You have absolutely zero doubt in your mind that Dak is starting this game, right?
I think so. Now, like, there could be a little doubt, you know, and it could be one of those things where he starts, plays a half, and I've seen the Cowboys do that, and then turn it over to the backup quarterback.
I can see that.
I could remember them doing that 1 year with a game that didn't mean anything. They had already solidified their playoff spot. I think Romo played a couple series or a half, and then they turned it over to someone else. I could see them doing that, but I don't think they want to do anything to diminish the importance of winning this final game and finishing 8-8-1. So that would suggest that he would play. He says he wants to play, and I think they would have to talk him off the field to be able to start Milton. And again, I think we'll be able to detect just kind of how they practice this week on who's going to start.
Yeah, it was something that he had said. Sorry if I don't remember if it was right after the game or at another point when he said, I've never finished below 500 in a season. I've been healthy and played the whole season in high school, in college, in the pros. And when he said that, I was like, okay, well, it sure as heck sounds like he's playing.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wants to, too. You just hope he doesn't put his GM hat on, right? And say, yeah, I can stay healthy and I don't have to go out there. I think he plays. And again, maybe not the whole game, but I do think he goes out there and plays. And yeah, and that's something I think you can be proud of, that you didn't, in seasons you finished healthy, you never finished below 500.
What do you take then? It kind of, that could partially be the answer to this question. How important do you think it is to like finish 8-8-1 versus 7-9-1? Because that's been talked about a lot going into this Giants game.
I think it's important. It sure sounds better, right? I think from a coach's standpoint, yeah, he would not like to have a losing record on his ledger and in his first year as the head coach, because I think if you finish 7-9, then you're going, oh man, that was really bad. I know 8-8-1 is only one game better, but doesn't sound as bad. And then you can say, well, if we had done this or we had done that, we easily could have won two more games and would have had a chance at a playoff spot. I think that the 8-8-1 sounds a heck of a lot better, and these guys feel better about themselves going forward.
Mickey, do you think the secret reason that Dak really wants to play this game is that he hates the Giants so much Ooh. That he wants to make it 15 straight wins against them?
Oh, I don't know if he can rest on his laurels and say, I've won 14 straight, right?
That's fair.
It was the Giants' his rookie year that accounted for two of the three losses that they had that season. It was the opener and then later in the season. And if I remember correctly, maybe one was by 1 point and the other one was by 3 points or something like that. I don't know that would be the motivating factor. But it sure sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I love that kind of pettiness. I really do. Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Mickey, who is one player defensively that you think can really benefit from a good performance in this game? It could be somebody that might not even be on the team next year, but do you think there's somebody that maybe is getting overlooked or somebody that has had a rough year that really needs a get-right game here?
That's a deep question.
Oh, that's what Alec does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? I was just kind of searching on the probably the defensive side of the ball. Do you get the opportunity or not, right?
Sure.
I think that's important. I think we're going to continue to see a lot of Shamir James at linebacker. I think that, he played like 80% of the snaps, although they didn't play that many snaps defensively this past game. Washington only had 44 snaps. That seems unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unless you want to consider the number of snaps that the Eagles had on Sunday. Right?
Yeah, what
did
was
they even have 40?
Yeah, and they decided not to complete any passes in the second half and all of that. Did you Did you hear what Steven said in the previous segment about Logan Wilson not getting on the field was due to some confusion from the position coach and the defensive coaching staff?
Yeah, I'd have to have a little bit more clarification on that than the fact that he didn't play whatever defenses they were playing. I'm not sure why he wouldn't have got on the field a little bit more. But again, you know, when they were playing, they started playing a little bit more five defensive linemen, and then they were going with one linebacker. And just off the top of my head, just watching the game, the one linebacker was James, because they figured Washington was in their passing mode. And so maybe that contributed to it. But yeah, that was kind of surprising, because normally in these last several games, the only guy that didn't play was Joe Milton.
Yeah.
And he had company in this one. So yeah, that was a head scratcher for sure.
Well, it sounds like the Cowboys feel that same way. at least some people in the management. Now, I want to go back to Dak playing just a little bit, and I know you can't just base your decisions off strictly the last game, but when you saw some of the hits that he was taking in that game against Washington, does that part give you any hesitation about sending him back out there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Me too.
I mean, there was one hit. I remember I'm watching there, and I was thinking to myself, oh, look out. You know, and you don't want to be saying look out to your quarterback, right?
Right.
But it's coming when you least expect it. So, yeah, but that's what he's been going through of late.
Sure.
So, yeah, maybe you factor in, okay, this guy's taking enough hits that we don't need to continue doing this. And you would think if you're scoring 30 points, you've protected your quarterback pretty well, right? If you're putting up 307 yards passing, well, yeah, we did a pretty good job with the quarterback. No, got sacked 6 times and hit 11 times, and was under duress most of the time. So yeah, that was somewhat troubling. And it was hard to pinpoint just where it was taking place. But I understand defensive philosophy facing the Cowboys. If you're going to have any chance of slowing this offense down, if you're going to have to take Dak out of the game.
Yeah.
And I don't mean hurt him. I mean make sure he doesn't single-handedly beat you. And even only completing right at around 50% of his passes, he still put up 30 points, which, again, gives you an idea of how dynamic this offense can be if they can just get a little help from the defense at some point next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure once the season ends, we can follow up with all kinds of questions about what that defense looks like, who leads that defense, and all that good stuff. But for now, we will stay focused here and now. Do you think the Giants will try to win this game to further cost themselves space from the number one draft pick like they did against the Raiders?
Like they did.
Man, they beat the Raiders down.
They buried them. They buried them, right?
They did.
See, now you understand how much importance there is to going into the next year on a good note, right?
I mean, unless you're the Raiders. The Raiders were like, let's lose and alienate our franchise player in the process. So make sure you get ready to start answering those mailbag questions about what the Cowboys are going to have to give up to get Max Crosby.
Oh, okay.
You know they're coming.
And they can use that. They as long as they have the money, go get it, right?
Sure. I mean, look, I created $70 million in salary cap space for them. Let's make it happen, Mickey.
Oh, you're rich.
And he'll be healthy, right?
Well, you know, you're asking too many follow-up questions that I'm not prepared to positively answer right now. I just wanted to prepare you for all those mailbag questions.
And I'm sure they're coming. I'm sure they are. They've already been coming, right?
Yes.
But he's didn't it? Don't they? It said they had to. He had to have surgery, right?
I believe that is going to be the case, but there is some pushback with Max Crosby posting stuff on Instagram that supposedly shows he's fine, and it feels kind of like a pissing contest right now.
Well, maybe they were trying to do with him what the Cowboys' intent was to do with Trayvon Diggs, right?
Yeah, you might be right.
Make sure you finish the season healthy so we're not on the tab for somebody.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
That, you know, you can't move because of injury or surgery.
Yeah.
When March comes around.
You might be right about that for sure. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch you again at the normal time tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
There you go, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3. Coming up next, an extra helping of gridiron gravy for the holidays. Tons of NFL records broken, plus dinosaurs.
What?
Next on The Fan.
This segment on the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Silverados, Tahoes, Blazers, Malibu's, Equinox, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
During the course of the season, Brissett, under pressure again, steps away, throws for McBride in the end zone, and it's an Arizona touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for your second holiday helping.
What?
And a chance for redemption for Jacob Ray as we go back to some gridiron gravy. There we go. There we go. Beautiful.
Biscuits.
You love to see a redemption story. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about records that were broken. Then we will talk about dinosaurs.
What?
You just want me to get right to the dinosaurs. All right. Well, in your face, Trey McBride. All right. So Joe Burrow, who is an interesting cat who we may or may not try to trade. So Joe Burrow gave his offensive linemen authentic dinosaur, bear, and mammoth fossils for Christmas. Now, I didn't get a chance to determine if it was like you get dinosaur, you get bear, or everyone gets a mix. Because I'm not going to lie, I don't care how old the bear was. If you give me an old bear fossil and that dude got a brontosaurus head, I'm going to think that our gifts are inequitable. But you might be wondering why Joe Burrow would do such a thing. I'm going to go to cut one. Joe Burrow loves dinosaurs and he loves fossils. Here's further proof.
Why were fossils on my mind? I don't know, because they're cool. When aren't fossils on your mind? They go back millions of years. That's sick.
Sick. He makes a good point, though.
They're sick.
Why would fossils not be on your mind? And I just love the idea that he's like, oh, man, I got to get that new Triceratops touchdown pass. And, like, I think that's amazing. Joe Burrow loves fossils. And he gifted his offensive lineman fossils. I don't know if they have any sort of affinity for that, but I think it's a cool gift.
That line of fossils are awesome. Like, why would I not be thinking about that? That feels like something I said at least a dozen times in third grade. Mm. And
junior year in high school. I get what you're saying.
What are you doing here?
Don't forget the G-Bag Nation coming up from 2 to 7.
What are you doing?
Right here on The Fan.
Huh. Okay. Anywho, I'm going to try to pivot back to my original point, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I just like that the youthful exuberance still exists within Joe Burrow, even though he clearly hates everything about being a Cincinnati Bengal.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons that we're going to trade him. What? Do you think if you're an offensive lineman, let's you guys could probably combine to be the size of an offensive line.
Yeah, probably.
Would you rather have a watch, a golf cart, or like a cool dinosaur fossil?
Oh, that's tough.
As a semi-grown up.
Because I feel like the thought behind the fossil is better than any of the other options you could give me.
Sure.
But I want the watch, man.
Okay.
This is assuming our quarterback didn't buy us $100 Nike Dunks, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'd probably go with the watch. Yeah, I'm team watch.
Okay, in your face, fossils. All right, now, if it's okay with Alec, we'll talk about Trey McBride, who set an all-time NFL record that Alec may or may not be disinterested in. Trey McBride passed Zach Ertz for the most catches by a tight end in an NFL season ever. He is now up to 119 catches. Do you think people properly acknowledge how awesome Trey McBride is, or is it the franchise that he's stuck with that prevents people from generally caring?
Two things can be true at once, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of truth to both sides of the argument. That franchise is abysmal. But at the same time, I feel like even if they were a fringe playoff team, nobody would care outside of fantasy purposes. They wouldn't care about, like, oh my gosh, this is one of the best statistical tight end seasons that we've ever seen. It would just be, oh, he puts up fantasy numbers. That's pretty cool. He gets a lot of catches. But yeah, playing in Arizona is just a death wish for, especially the position that he plays too.
Right.
Nobody really cares about the tight end position unless you are that next freak athlete. Like, everybody cared about Kyle Pitts coming out of the draft because he's athletic and he's not like the typical tight end. Trey McBride is like the typical tight end build-wise when you watch him on tape, but he is so stupidly consistent no matter who is throwing the ball to him that I don't think he will ever get enough appreciation.
To your point, he now holds the record. He also has the fifth most catches ever by a tight end in a season from last year. He also surpassed DeAndre Hopkins for the most receptions by an Arizona Cardinal player in a season ever.
Wow.
So congratulations to Trey McBride. Also, congratulations to Josh Allen. He became the fastest and youngest player in NFL history to reach 300, I almost said 30, total touchdowns. And you know what? That is super positive and seems freaking awesome, but also cut number two happened, so I don't know how he feels about that record today.
Allen looking to throw. Pressure throws. Incomplete. Don't see a flag. Eagles going to hold on.
The Eagles won that game 13-12, clinched the division for the Patriots. I'm amazed that game was competitive in the fourth quarter because it looked like it was going to be a destruction. But for the second time this season, Jalen Hurts had a second half in which he actively threw the ball but had zero completions. More on that tomorrow.
Oh, that is just gross. That game was so exciting, though, because it felt like the Bills had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they kept, as Corey would say, giving up the booty.
Yes.
And turnovers, incomplete passes, as you heard right there on the two-point play, which was wide open in the back of the end zone. And you could hear Tom Brady. I thought he actually had a great breakdown of why that went wrong. He was kind of breaking down the science of throwing the football when on the run. He was like, you're always taught to aim for the body in those situations because when you roll left, it leans left. And so he was like, you need to aim for his body. You're trying to lead your guy open and make sure it doesn't get broken up. But he's like, just the nature of physics, you throw it at the body, it's probably going to end up right in his hands where you wanted it to be, not 5 yards in front of him. That game was so close, and it's got me fully believed on a new theory that ever since the Eagles killed that bunny that was in their locker room, I think that they have some sort of magic going on that
they
is not of this
three
earth.
In a row.
I think they sacrificed the damn bunny. I don't think that bunny was just unplugged and removed. I think they sacrificed that thing because ever since then, they have played some ugly football, but they have found ways to win. And that was a perfect example where Jalen Hurts was throwing up ham sandwiches of passes and still won the game because Vic Fangio is a demon.
Well, good news if you're an animal lover. Nobody in the NFC South has sacrificed anything. I'm going to bring this up to more specifics because I think after tonight, this dream might be over. But If the Atlanta Falcons beat the Rams tonight on Monday Night Football, we have a situation transpiring. That would put the Atlanta Falcons at 7-9. They close out the season against the Saints, a very winnable game, which would then put them at 8-9. The Carolina Panthers play the Tampa Bay Bucks. Currently, the Bucks are favored in that game. If they won, that would put them at 8-9, and Carolina at 8-9. And that means you would have a three-way tie for first place in a division in which none of the teams had a record that was even 500.
That is...
it could happen.
That is so ugly, yet so intense and fun at the same time, where it's just... it's a pile of mid. That's what it is. That division
stinks. That might be generous. Yeah.
That's generous. What I want to say is not FCC-friendly, but I enjoy it, but it also makes me upset because I wish there was just one standout. Just one team that was serious in that division, because the rest can be a laughingstock. I mean, we see it with the NFC East. The Eagles are serious. Nobody else in the division really is this year, but it's okay because they have a clear-cut contender on their hands. The NFC South does not deserve anything nice. Maybe a wild card spot in the Canadian Football League. Like, relegation talk is getting serious.
They scored only four rouges all season.
Exactly, and that might be generous of an estimation, too, because that division stinks.
Micah Parsons is having his ACL surgery today. Obviously hoping the best for him. I feel like usually after these surgeries you get the everything went great, he's going to be awesome, and all of that good stuff. Now let's talk about Derrick freaking Henry, man. Derrick Henry turned in what John Harbaugh said was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. I mean, it was tough downhill running, but also making a lot of guys miss. Derrick Henry moved into 10th on the NFL's all-time rushing list, passing Tony Dorsett. He's also 368 yards from passing Eric Dickerson. He climbed into 4th on the rushing touchdown list in NFL history with 122. He is only behind Emmitt, LT, and Marcus Allen. He also set the record for most rushing yards by a visiting player at Lambeau. Whew, that's a lot. I'm not done. He also set an NFL record with his 7th game of 200 or more rushing yards, which broke a tie with Adrian Peterson and O.J. Simpson. And one more thing. This is the 4th career game for Derrick Henry in which he's had 100 yards rushing inside and 100-plus yards rushing outside the tackles in the same game. Since the next-gen stats era started in 2016, no other player has won. And he's done it 4 times. Nobody else has ever done it in the ensuing 10 seasons. That alone is enough to make this game bananas. But let's take a look at the other side. The Packers, they didn't punt a single time on Saturday night, and they still lost. That's the 3rd time the Packers have had a game this season in which they didn't punt and lost. That is the most by any team in the Super Bowl era. Wow. So that game was chock full of history.
Hey, but King Henry wouldn't have been any good here, right, Kevin? That's what I was told. That's what I heard.
Like, I get it. Your offensive line matters a lot. Your play caller matters a lot. But it's like we have a complete disregard for just innate talent. And you're like, eh, he wouldn't have been that good. Okay, fine. So last year, what would he have had? 1,600 yards instead? All right, let's do that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do a little NFL overreaction or reality next right here on The Fan.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.